our reading. I just hastily had to go to the back to... I was worried that I hadn't got the recorder, but Paul's totally in control, so that's brilliant, and he's going to sort that out for us. So I'll let Lynn introduce it, and we'll listen to it.
We're reading from Genesis chapter 37. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the son of Bel, and the sons of Zippor, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornated road for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were building sheaves of corn out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered round mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And he hated them all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brother actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept this matter in mind. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them." "Very well," he replied. So he said to them, "Go and see if all is well with your brothers with the flocks, and have word and bring word back to me." Then he sent him off to the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the field and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?" "They've moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes the dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him in one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him, and we'll see what comes of his dream." When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornated robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty, there was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Israelites coming from Gilgad. The camels were laden with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were down on their way to go down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Israelites and not lay hand on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and brothers." And his brothers agreed.
Thank you very much, Lynn. 27 verses, there we go. But I thought it important to cover that. Okay, let's pray. Lord our God, our loving Saviour, please be with us now as we hear your word, Lord. We thank you for those words that you placed in the Bible for us to read, to learn, and to hear you in our daily lives. Lord, help us to bring this forward into our daily lives. So the final chapters of the book of Genesis contain what could rightly be called and known as probably one of the best biographies the world has ever known. It's heroic in its portrayal of this brave young believer trusting in the Lord in the most challenging of circumstances. It's full of lessons that we should live to the glory of God like he did. Every incident whispers Christ's name. A theologian found that there was 100 ways or 100 times in which Joseph is a picture of Lord Jesus Christ. So let me remind you of the three themes that we're going to talk about this morning. Again, favoritism and jealousy, bitterness, and also in terms of it's okay to dream. So let's start with the favoritism and jealousy. So the 12 sons of Jacob, and they're considered a group, brothers, a brotherhood together. And we're introduced into this reading, though, of someone of remarkable importance. You see that in the way that Moses, the author of this book, focuses on and suddenly puts in focus Joseph. He's the central figure in all of these chapters, and that's demonstrated in all of the chapters through his life. There's 14 chapters devoted to Joseph. They're the longest section within the book of Genesis to deal with any single person, more so than Abraham, for example. So this Joseph is some person from whom we can all learn in our Christian faith here today. So Joseph is clearly, you've heard it twice obviously from the show in the West End and also from our reading from the Bible, and all of you know it though, is his father's favourite. Jacob himself though had been a favourite of his mother Rebecca, and that had brought trouble into that family. Jacob's father's favourite had been his brother Esau, and having rival parental favourites had split that family dramatically in two. And you think as he considered the damage done to his own family and his upbringing, that Jacob himself would not show favouritism to any of his sons. However, he did, because Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, and every one of his other sons knew it. So a parent might have a favourite, but they should never show it. And Jacob displayed his affection, though, for Joseph in that splashes of gifts, that that coat that he gave him, that richly ornamented robe. And Joseph had to put that coat on all the time, mostly to please his father. And as a result of that, he stood out a mile. So let's not have favourites. Let's try not being cliques that happens continually. So his brothers were shepherds in their working clothes. So their working clothes would have smelled of sheep. And here we are, daddy's boy, in his coat of many colours. Because that coat, as well as favouritism, it indicated status. It indicated that, and marked Joseph out, that he was going to be of managerial rather than a co-worker and a fellow shepherd of his peers, of his brothers. It might have implied to the brothers that the father was favouring Joseph to be the inheritor of all his wealth and all his possessions, and that they would be cut out of his their father's will. And this was the last straw as far as the brothers was concerned. So when sometime later, when the father, Jacob, sent his son on an errand to find out how the brothers were doing with their sheep, Joseph went wearing that coat. That's what he should wear. And so they stripped him of it, verse 23 tells us that, and later they dipped it in goat's blood and showed it to his father as though the blood was Joseph's. It's my son's robe, we would have read later in verse 33, Jacob said. The brothers hated him, and especially that coat of many colours. So jealousy is important to think about here. And they were jealous of his relationship. Rightly or wrongly, Jacob cherished Joseph in ways that he hadn't shown to his other sons. And Joseph was hated by them. They were jealous of him for it. So let's make sure that none of us has anyone in our lives that has a relationship with somebody that we want or something that you lack and that's eating away at you, because that jealousy does that. The brothers were also jealous of his position. The Bible makes it clear that Jacob exercised his fatherly privilege and chose to appoint his firstborn son by Rachel as his heir. So he skipped all those other sons and selected the youngest at that time. And the symbol of a birthright in those days could have been, and was in this case, a special tunic. So did someone in your family get favoured over you? Did someone else get that promotion you were in line for? Or are you upset about it? Did someone get elected to a position of influence, for example, in a church or somewhere else, and your feelings are hurt? We must be aware of jealousy in our lives. And then God's favour. Verse 5 in our reading this morning summarises that section for us. Now Joseph had a dream, and what he told to his brothers, and they hated him even more. In verses 6 to 8, Joseph tells his brothers that he dreamed about them. They were all in the field binding sheaves of grain, when suddenly the sheaves rose up and their sheaves gathered around him. And in 9 to 11, and they bowed down to him. It tells us that he informed that Joseph had a second dream with the same meaning. And that's where the moon and the stars and the sun all bowed down to Joseph. His brothers and his father thought it was a joke, and they were really jealous of him. But Joseph's brothers' self-pity, anger and jealousy finally pushed them over that dangerous line. They were mad at their father for his favouritism. They were mad at God for the good things that were coming to their brother and not to them. And there was only one way to get back to them both. They would take away that object of affection. So we must be aware of jealousy in our daily lives and not to covet what others have, especially within our own family or within our church or within our community. So the second point this morning is the inferno of bitterness. Verses 12 to 24 tell us how that happened. So following his father's instructions, Joseph tracked down his brothers who were shepherding their flocks. Verse 18 to 20 says that when they saw him from afar, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of those pits. And then we will say that a ferocious animal has devoured him, and we will see what comes of his dreams." Reuben, though, the eldest, intervened and convinced his brothers not to murder their brother, but to throw him into that abandoned well nearby. And all at once, they fell upon him, stripping that coat off his back and threw him headlong into that deep hole, that deep pit. Nothing in Genesis, though, nothing in that reading that we had, and if we'd gone on reading, says that there was any complaints by Joseph, there was any bitterness by Joseph for his lot. So bitterness is really an anger and a denial of the goodness of God. Bitterness means that you've abandoned God. If you're bitter about something this morning, you have decided that God didn't handle that situation rightly, and you will now take it into your own hands, and you will take that situation over. So bitterness leaks out and therefore affects others. So the book of Hebrews issues a warning for all of us. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it, because of it, many become defiled. Hebrews 12:15. So even in Hebrews, they're talking to us about that. Bitter people, at the very least, will disrupt and unnecessarily trouble others. Or in the worst possible effect, bitter people will corrupt others, staining and tainting their lives. So bitterness is non-discriminatory in its targets. Joseph, as well as being clearly his father's favourite, He also walked with the Lord, and God communicated to Joseph his future in those dreams. All of this drove Joseph's brothers over that edge. But think about it. Was that favoritism Joseph's fault? No. Jacob was their father, and they needed him, so they couldn't blame him, the brothers. And they knew that they couldn't battle God. So the brothers picked the next least target as a scapegoat, Joseph. I mean, years ago, as a young police officer, I learned that sometimes the venom that people used to throw at me and say to me and be towards me was not really about me as a person. I just happened to be the convenient target at that time. I happened to be that scapegoat. And remembering that can help you sometimes when some person's anger towards you or to a situation doesn't make sense. So let's pray for them and let's return some good from that evil. And that's what we can learn from this morning. So let's fight bitterness with the mind of Christ. As Joseph lay in the bottom of that pit, he had his own invitation to bitterness. But as I said, he chose another path. And that powers with us to do so, to fight off any self-pity or rejection, and deal quickly if we ever have anger, and to resist any bitter resolutions. And this came for Joseph simply from trusting that God was greater than Joseph's circumstances. And he was at work doing more than Joseph could ever believe. And that's the same for us, isn't it? God is greater than any circumstance that we have. So dreaming is okay, my final point this morning. So Joseph had dreamed all his life. And these dreams, as I said, were a communication from God to him. And Joseph recognized their significance and their compelling authority because they came with God's power. So these dreams came to Joseph in a pair. And he might have shrugged off that first dream of the sheaves of corn. But then that other dream came to him. And this one had the identical message to the first. The dreams were not intended by God for him, Joseph, to keep them private. He was the voice of God to his family. And at that time, but they mocked him, mocked Joseph as a dreamer. And then they mocked the dreams. And thus, in reality, they were really mocking the revelation of God. So the brothers and his father's hostile reaction, as we heard in our reading this morning, is the reaction, isn't it, of non-Christians to us as Christians when we tell them that God is sovereign over their lives. So the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he was a dreamer, but he put his life at risk when he was talking about one of his dreams. He dreamed of a world that disrupted and disturbed the status quo of the society that he lived in the United States. So in 1963, over 60 years ago now, at that march, the Civil Rights March in Washington, D.C., Dr. King dreamed. He said, "I have a dream that one day sons of former slaves and sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the colour of their skin, but by the content of their character." So not everyone understood that dream. Not everyone understands dreams. And like Joseph's brothers, they didn't want Joseph's dreams to come true. But God has something special. God has something special for each and every one of us. So it is with the Lord that he has plans for you that we can only begin to imagine. We see things and formulate plans that we think would be wonderful. But God has something more special for us than we could ever imagine. Like God, special plan that he had for Joseph's life that we would read about as we went further through those chapters. He has a special plan for us in life as well. Sadly, many people lack the faith or the vision to find out what God's plan is further. There is something that God wants you to do. He wants to work in you, through you, and around you. And it is in a very unique way. He has something that only you can do. And it can't be done at all, certainly not by anyone else, unless you are the person that does it. You might as well know up front that there will be those around you who will try and stifle your dreams. You might as well know that there will be those that will not support you. Notice how Joseph's brothers reacted to him. There will always be those that lack the faith and the vision and will tell you that your dreams are inconceivable, impractical, and impossible. Remember, whatever we may face in this world, however deep and dark the valleys that we are called to walk through, how heavy the loads that we are called to upon to bear, God is merely allowing these things in our lives to strengthen them and then to help us to become more like Him. All of us have moments when we are carrying on with our life, working to our plan, trying to keep our head above water, and then we get sideswiped by circumstance or sidelined by harsh people. How we respond to those moments, though, reveals the truth about how we really believe about God. So Joseph was having a pretty bad day, wasn't he, by anyone's standards. He was 17, and at the age of 17, we should all be dreamers. I certainly was, probably still am. But life for Joseph was literally the pits, wasn't it? He was lying in that pit. He should have been dreaming about what he was going to do with his friends, dreaming about university, or dreaming about where to go the rest of his life. But they loved to hate him, those brothers, and they put him in the pit. Have you ever had one of those days when nothing seems to go right?
No.
I'm guessing you might have had one or two of those at least at some point in your life. I most certainly have, still do, and I'm sure will do. But Joseph is guilty of only two things, isn't he? He's being his father's favourite, and he's guilty of being a dreamer. Joseph's story reveals that setbacks might only be setups, and they were a setup for him. And they make them a comeback for dreamers that don't die easily. So Business Review article a while ago said that, published this at the beginning of its review sometime earlier this year from Harvard, it urged readers to have a year that counts, and it said start with your dreams, not your goals or plans or objectives, but your dreams. How do we have a ministry here at Wisbech that counts? Let's start with our dreams. Let's dream the unthinkable, the impossible, the questionable for us all here today. So is anyone dreaming of what we could do here? I don't mean daydreaming or sleeping in the service, or what they're going to have for Sunday lunch, I'm sure you are, or how they're going to do that, or dreaming of holidays. But dreaming about God's life for you here. The life here that together what we will form as Christians. I was going to say, I think I skipped a bit, but I'll just go back to this slightly, is that as a young lad, I dreamed that I would be a professional footballer. I'm sure you all had dreams like that. I would play for Chelsea, my team. That didn't work out, did it? Clearly not. And look where that dream got me right here. My dream didn't come true because it wasn't God's dream, that he had other plans that he wanted me to serve him by doing. I'm hoping my dream to become a bit more like Morse as a detective did work out. So dream on when stormy clouds of doubt begin. Dream on when depression wants to take over your heart and mind. Dream on when it seems like the only person cheering you on, I'll be finished in a minute if they want to know. Dream on because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Dream on because God is not finished with you yet. Dream on because God will do more than we ask or even imagine. Dream on, for nothing is impossible with God. Dream on. Dreaming when there will be a war no more. We heard from a girl this morning about Gaza and the Ukraine. Dream in a world where there would be no more racism, or no more sexism, no more hatred of any kind. Dreaming of a world where Christians will actually love their neighbours as themselves. So I'm dreaming this morning that all of you who have not been baptised would seriously consider it. I'm dreaming of the work that we can do in Wisbech and do here in Wisbech at the moment. I'm dreaming of how we can expand it. So I've signed up to be part of God's dream team here. What about each and one of every one of you too? Amen. Lord our God,